Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live out at Vanderbilt in the press box right now at Hawkins Field. Vanderbilt taking on Alabama State tonight to kick off their men's basketball season. The blackout game coming up on Saturday against Kentucky. You can catch all the action on our sister station, 93.3 Classic Hits. Right now, talking Titans. And to do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. Ben, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. So, Ben, obviously, maybe the most impressive run the Titans have seen in a long time, especially when it comes to the regular season over the course of the last four games. I want to start with the defense. How surprised are you at what you've seen, given the injuries this defense has dealt with, and how good do you think this front four specifically can be on defense as Bud Dupree apparently and continues to get healthier with each passing game?
Yeah, look, I thought this defense coming into this season would be better. I mean, we all know how bad they were last year, particularly rushing the passer, just historically bad on third down. And with the improvements they made, getting Bud, getting DeNico, Jack Rabbit Jenkins, those guys, I anticipated the defense would be better, but not this much better. And I think, obviously, you have to start with that front four, which enables them to do anything they want in terms of defense, not having the blitz. DeNico has been way more than advertised. I think almost you could, with the impact he's had, you can say he's almost been a bargain, even though it was one of those big money deals. Harold Landry having a career year. Jeffrey Simmons probably had the best game of his career on Sunday, and Bud Dupree isn't even 100% yet. And what you think with what those guys are able to do, just really wrecking an opposing offense's game plan just because of the pressure they're able to get. Man, does that kind of open up whatever Shane Bowen wants to dial up and really helping out those cover guys in the back end. So I did not expect this defense to be this good, but I think you look at kind of the guys they have up front, all of them are kind of able to draw double teams at this point, and you can't double all of them, right? Someone's gonna get free, and it just kind of it helps everything out, right? Like the Titans are able to do whatever they want defensively right now.
So Ben, offensively, obviously, I mean, a lot of that game was you get those two plays in 26 seconds, you go from 3-0 to 14-3. You do have the really impressive drive to go 21-3, but not a lot else. What's your sense for the offense moving forward and the running back rotation based on what you saw from those three guys Sunday night?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think the offense, they missed Derrick Henry, right? I mean, the first game without him, I think you could kind of see that blueprint of him being missing, right, not having that dominant guy in the backfield. I think in Adrian Peterson and Deontay Foreman, you have guys who maybe have a similar running style, but they're not dominant, and then you lose the time of possession battle because you don't have a guy like Derrick out there, and then obviously with what Derrick is able to do, that opens up what they want to do in the pass game. You don't have that. It is kind of a work in progress in terms of what this offense will look like post Derrick Henry. In terms of the running back rotation, I mean, I think you have to go with Deontay Foreman as RB1 for the time being, averaging over 5 yards a carry against the Rams, really as a rusher looking better than McNichols or AD. I think what we've heard the Titans say, Coach Mike Vrabel, the offensive coordinator Todd Downing, running backs coach Tony Dudes, it's really that this is going to be a running back by committee, and each game could kind of look different, right, in terms of because of the flow of game, who has the hot hand or whatever. And I think out of this first game, what you saw is maybe that Deontay Foreman, at least for this game against the Saints, right, that maybe he's your go-to guy on early downs. And I think he's shown the Titans what he's been able to do in small sample sizes in the past. You look at the Bengals game last year, averaging over 7 yards a carry, same deal last year against the Colts. I think the Week 12 game, over 7 yards a carry. So I think right now you have to sprinkle Deontay Foreman a bit more on early downs, and then hopefully Adrian Peterson, a guy who on Sunday was playing his first game in 10 months, only had 3 practices in with the Titans last week, none of which were fully padded. You kind of hope maybe he can get his feet under him and contribute more, and then kind of keep Jeremy McNichols at that third down back role.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben, obviously Josh Reynolds released yesterday, and he's been a guy that, you know, has not been an elite receiver by any stretch of the imagination in his career, but certainly a productive receiver. How surprised are you that it went the way that it did with Josh Reynolds, and why do you think Josh Reynolds wasn't a fit with this Titans team?
Yeah, I think with Josh Reynolds, I mean, the writing was on the wall, right? And then you look at this past game where he was a healthy scratch against his former team, the Rams. This just never worked out, right? I mean, you have to start with the summer when he was dealing with that Achilles injury, and he wasn't able to be out there on the field consistently. When he was out there, he didn't always look necessarily explosive. He signed with the Titans in the spring at a time before they traded for Julio, and it looked like he could have been that second option behind AJ, but then you bring in Julio, and then Josh Reynolds gets hurt, as I just mentioned, and then Nick Westbrook, Akina, and Chester Rogers, and Marcus Johnson all kind of surpass him on the depth chart, and then also on top of maybe outplaying him offensively, you get more from special teams out of those guys as well. So I think it was all those kind of factors that made this not really work out for Josh Reynolds. And look, he's still a very capable receiver, and I'm sure someone is going to claim him. I mean, you're only on the hook for $500,000 if you're a team looking to claim him. So he's going to find a home. He's 26 years old and is still an effective receiver. But in terms of with the Titans, it just didn't work out. And so the move yesterday didn't surprise me.
So, Ben, this team, number one in the AFC, a pretty soft schedule the rest of the way. The AFC South is all but done. How important do you think it is for the Titans to get the one and get the bye in the first week of the playoffs, and how viable do you think that is?
Well, right now, it's very viable. I think the last kind of projection I looked at was what they have, like a 60-something percent chance of that one seed. I think if you're the Titans, you absolutely should go for that. As you said, the division is kind of under wrap at this point, and if you can get that one seed, get that bye week to start the playoffs, and you know, thinking about Derrick Henry and potentially getting him back for, if not the regular season, for the playoffs, that extra week of rest could, you know, do wonders for this team, and maybe give Derek a better chance of giving you the Derek we know he can be come that playoff run that the Titans hope to go on. So, yeah, I think absolutely they should be going for it. It is very viable at this point, looking at what the AFC has been. I mean, the NFC, I think, has been very stable in terms of the top teams with the, like, the Packers, the Cardinals, the Bucks, all those teams. But the AFC has kind of been all over the place, with the Bills somehow losing to the Jaguars. The Ravens haven't always looked great. The Chargers are kind of up and down. The Bengals have kind of been up and down, too. I think the AFC is very much up for grabs, and so I do see the number one seed is a very real option for the Titans. It's just a matter of them kind of taking care of this schedule, which, you know, apparently is the easiest remaining in the league. So we'll kind of see how that goes.
Ben Arthur from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ben, great stuff as always, man. Appreciate you taking time to come on with us this morning.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Ben Arthur does a great job covering the Titans for the Tennessean. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Ben had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday on 102.5 The Game is the Minnesota Vikings at the L.A. Chargers with a 3:05 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Stephen A. Smith on First Take, who Joe Rexro has changed his tune a little bit from last week. He declared the Titans done and that their season was over last week after Derrick Henry goes down in the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill goes from a liability to an experienced quarterback this week. So interesting how that's changed a little bit over the course of last week.
Yeah, but you know, I'll defend him a little bit. I mean, I said and really don't have a different thought on without Derrick Henry, I don't think this team can win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's what, so
you didn't say their season was over.
Well, right. I mean, I guess I'd have to go back and listen to, I guess I took from last week, like this team can't win a Super Bowl without Derrick Henry. Now, yes, if he said they will not sniff another win, you know, then that's a little bit different. But I mean, I don't feel differently. I don't think that this team. I mean, this reminds me a little bit of Ryan Johansson and the Preds. Okay, because I can relate to Stephen A. a little bit.
Okay,
when that injury happened, actually we were flying to Anaheim, and a column I wrote was the Preds cannot win a Stanley Cup now. Now, when they made, but I wrote, they might get two more wins to get to the cup final. They will not win, and we kind of knew. We didn't know, but we pretty much knew it was going to be Pittsburgh
and
those two centers, right? And so when they made it, took a lot of crap for that, and I said, okay, you can give me crap when they win it. Well, they didn't win it. Now, could they have won it? Yeah, they probably could have won it if you didn't have the weird review in game one. I mean, they still came incredibly close, so I guess you could say that maybe it was still a flawed argument, but they didn't win it without Ryan Johansson. I still think this Titans team can get the one seed. It's going to win the AFC South going away. And I don't see this Titans team winning the Super Bowl without Derrick Henry. So until proven wrong, I'm going to stick with that. But I guess, yeah, if Stephen A. was maybe being a little bit dramatic there, then that's different. I mean, certainly he's a Tannehill doubter to the extreme and I think has a flawed outlook on him.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Chad from Gallatin, who wants to weigh in. Chad, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, good stuff, fellas. I want to talk a little bit about Adrian Peterson, and I've kind of had this theory, and I think a lot of people would think I'm kind of crazy, which is okay, but I really believe that he tells people he wants to play till he's 40. I think that there's going to be an outside chance that he could actually go for the all-time rushing record and surpass Emmitt Smith. Now, I know he's about, I think, a little over 3,000 yards short of the rushing record, but if he can pile up through this season, you know, anywhere between, you know, 300 to 500 yards and get himself under 3,000, what you're going to have is a situation where he can start selling tickets for a team that's going to be off the grid. You know, hypothetically next year if it's the Texans. Or, you know, if he gets within 15 to 2,000 yards and he's 38, 39 years old, you got a guy who's going to basically put a lot of rear ends in seats. And I think that's actually the scenario where he has a chance. So I'm telling people, go out and buy his cards. They're all pretty undervalued right now. There's an outside chance this guy could go for it at age 40.
Hey, thanks for the call, Chad. We appreciate it. I mean, it's interesting, Joe. I would say it's probably unlikely. I mean, Emmitt Smith's at 18,355 right now. Adrian Peterson 14,841.
So 3,500 away.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lot of work to do. I will say, I mean, he's not that far away from Barry Sanders for fourth all time. Barry Sanders at 15,269. So you're talking about roughly 400 yards that Adrian Peterson needs to pass him. It's not inconceivable that he could do that this year in a Titans jersey if he can stay healthy.
Well, if he does that this year, that bodes really well for the Titans.
Yep.
That means you're getting some real production out of him. And then, yeah, from there you go to Frank Gore, an even 16. I didn't realize that Frank Gore ended at an even exact 16K, 16,000. Yeah. You know, then Peyton, then Emmett. Yeah, I hear the idea there of if he's closing in on someone, you know, you put some butts in seats. I don't know. I don't know that he's going to be able to hang around long enough. But we'll see. I mean, the first night out, I think, you know what Vrabel said the other day, and after watching the game over again, by the way, watching the game over again, there was not a hint of bias toward the Rams by the announcers, which is not surprising to me, but just want to throw that out there to people. They've talked about the Titans all night. But he, as Vrabel said, with Peterson, you know, they had some cuts that he wanted back. It did look like, almost like it, at times he was overcutting or overthinking some things.
So just hitting the hole.
Yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that you can figure out. It's not like that performance, I didn't come away saying, boy, he doesn't have any juice anymore or can't, you know, he's got to fit into the offense. I'm still also, I mean, like, I kind of agree with what Ben said. I mean, I think Deonte Foreman earned maybe a little more opportunity here moving forward. But if Adrian Peterson gets, you know, 400 yards the rest of this way in the last eight games, about 50 yards a game from, yeah, you would absolutely take that if you're the Titans.
You would take it, and, you know, they did talk about on the broadcast the other night, I guess he told Michelle Tafoya he wants to play until he's 40. I just, you know, talking about a guy that at this point was on the street until the Titans came calling. Like, I don't know that he's going to make it to 40. I don't give him much of a chance for the all-time rushing record. Could be wrong. You know, he may come out on Sunday against the Saints and put up a buck 12 and just get to rolling right along with this Titans team, but I have my doubts.
Yeah, it's a tall order, but definitely number four spot, passing Barry Sanders is there, and maybe even the three.
Robert in Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I cringe every time y'all say soft schedule. If this season has taught us anything, it's any team, any Sunday in this league.
Well, totally. I mean, absolutely agree with that. But, I mean, you got to still look at who you're playing. And if you're playing the Texans twice and the Jaguars once and the Dolphins, who are the biggest disappointment in the NFL, once, and the Niners, who are one of the top, I don't know, three or four biggest disappointments in the NFL, I mean, the schedule is, look, it's on paper, it's easier. That doesn't guarantee anything. And we know the Titans, as much as they have the I think, a well-earned reputation now under Mike Vrabel of rising up in these big games and rising up when people don't expect them to do something. They also have come out flat and lost some games they should have won. So no one's saying it's a lock or anything, but the bottom line is the schedule gets a lot easier. I mean, they just beat four straight really good teams. We think they're really good, or good on varying levels of good, but four teams that made the playoffs last year. And by the way, there's a heck of a stat. If they beat the Saints, they'll be the second team ever to win five straight games against five teams, all of which made the playoffs the year before.
Go to GameNashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. This deal this week is a $30 gift card for only $15 to the Beanbag Coffee and Tea Shop, your favorite community coffee and tea shop offering a variety of coffee flavors and shine-worthy teas. The Beanbag is a great place to have a meeting while sipping on a cup of hot or cold coffee or tea. And you could also enjoy a delicious breakfast sandwich, cheddar broccoli soup, turkey sandwiches, and more. Get your deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. When we come back, we'll get a little bit into the Ryan Tannehill discussion. Is he regressing? Are we concerned about the turnovers from Ryan Tannehill? We'll get into all that and more coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win tickets to an upcoming sporting event or concert. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, on Twitter, and on YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC equal housing lender. We are out live at Vanderbilt University today, hanging out here at Hawkins Field. Got a big football game coming up on Saturday night for Vanderbilt against Kentucky. The blackout going to be taking place, so looking forward to that. Also, tonight, make sure you check out Vanderbilt men's basketball opening up their season against Alabama State. Both of those games can be heard on 93.3 Classic Hits, our sister station. So looking forward to that. Right now, talking to Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jar Buddy Hibbs tweeting in, says, your pal Stillman thinks Tannehill's interceptions are the end of the world. Spent almost the whole show on the topic yesterday. Jared does seem to be very worried about Ryan Tannehill's interceptions, and we did a special edition of Titans Buy or Sell yesterday. I asked you, are you worried about Ryan Tannehill's interceptions? You sold that, said you are not worried, but the fact does still remain. You look at Tannehill's career so far with the Titans, 6 interceptions in 12 games in his first year with the Titans, 7 interceptions last year in 16 games. He already has 8 in 9 games this year. So the interceptions are up. What do you think is behind that, and is there any reason that you think Titans fans should be concerned about Ryan Tannehill and the turnovers?
Well, to be fair, I think it was a reluctant sell, right? It was. It's a good question. It's not like, no problem. Everything's fine. By the way, I woke up today, and I had like some Jared hate tweeting me about like the Kentucky Duke basketball game or something.
Saw that.
And I was sound asleep when Jared tweeted that. So anyway, here's the thing that I would dispute the most with him, and if anybody else thinks this, it's just bizarre, okay? And he said this multiple times, essentially that there's no difference in the offensive line play this year from last year. That's absolutely ridiculous, especially before Luan got hurt last year. It was as good a pass-protecting offensive line before he got hurt as you had in the NFL. It has not been good this year. Now, not good this year with Luan early, not good with Luan going out. They had a pretty good stretch here recently, right?
Well, just to highlight that real quick, Tannehill got sacked 24 times last year, which is a really low number. He's already been sacked 27 this year in 9 games.
And that includes that good stretch I'm talking about. In the last game, we kind of saw it again. You got Bobby Hart out there. You got Nate Davis is out as well. I thought Brewer did pretty well. I mean, look, when you're playing Aaron Donald, you're going to have some issues. But that's been, to me, think about the Jets game. So the Jets game, and I don't honestly remember, did Tannehill throw a pick in that game?
I'd have to go look at
it. I don't remember if he did, but there's a great example of a game where the pocket collapsed. I mean, a couple times he took sacks that he can't take, but the pocket's collapsing. Also, you don't have A.J. Brown or Julio Jones. It's a very different situation. I think some of the excellent numbers for Tannehill have to do with excellent protection, excellent run game, and really not being under the kind of duress that would lead to that. So if you have to give credit for people other than the quarterback on performance. We highlight the quarterback in this game. Quarterback gets all the credit, all the blame. There was a lot of factors around him, kind of like Byard last year with the defense, that helped him be better. This year, I think there are some factors that are hurting him. That said, the pick he threw against the Rams, there was no excuse for that. I mean, that was a late forced throw against one of, arguably the best cornerback in the NFL. Like, that's on him. So some of these are on him, and he has to clean it up. But if you ask me, am I worried that this is going to become some big problem, like he's going to be a turnover machine this year? No. I think he has to get better, and I think we've seen enough from him to think that he will, but especially if he has clean pockets. The pockets this year have been so dramatically different from a year ago.
Well, I think the other thing to keep in mind, and I would not put the Saints in this category coming up on Sunday because I still think they have a pretty good defense. The defenses are about to soften up a little bit too as you look down the rest of the schedule here. Now, having said that, you're talking about 4 games in a row now where he's thrown a pick. He had one against Buffalo, one against Kansas City, two against the Colts, and then one last week against the Rams. Going back to the Jets game, by the way, no, he did not throw an interception in that game. I said it yesterday, and I stand by this. I'm not worried about Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden throwing, you know, turnovers left and right. And, you know, early in the season, it was the fumbles from just getting crushed in the backfield that you were worried about. What I'm interested to see is if the offense struggles to run the ball without Derrick Henry, which I think is a realistic possibility that they will struggle to run the ball without Derrick Henry. Does Ryan Tannehill feel a little bit more pressure to, even when things aren't there, maybe try to force some plays, knowing that it's just going to be more difficult to move the ball with this offense? I think one of the things that Ryan Tannehill has been very good at while he's had Derrick Henry is throwing the ball to the open man. We talked about it to begin the season. Like, do you need to force feed the ball to A.J. Brown or Julio Jones a little bit more? Tannehill's not really done that since he's become the quarterback of the Titans because he's been good about finding the open man. And you also know that you could turn around, hand the ball off to 22, and at any point he'll break off a 75-yarder and change the game. You just don't have that right now. So I do wonder if Tannehill feels a little bit more pressed maybe to take some risks, knowing that his big play guy in the backfield is no longer there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's valid. And I think also if you, because of the struggles, the struggles that we foresee potentially running the football, if you're in a lot of third and eight, third and 10, and, you know, it's just like you're just in not great spots on third down, does that also increase the chances that, you know, that you're going to make a mistake, that the defense can force you into a mistake? Again, go back, you know, last year, Tannehill was great, obviously, first year coming in. He was great last year. Man, there were a lot of, to your point about spreading the ball around, again, go back and watch some of those games before Lawan got hurt last year. I mean, he was on, oh, read three, oh, I'll go over to read four. Yep. It happened all the time. I remember we talked about on the show, like, remarkable at times, the pockets that were there for him, and he took advantage, to his credit, but it is a lot easier when you have that, when you have that confidence that you're going to be able to stand in there. I think his confidence goes up when Lawan is in. That's a big thing today. Is Lawan back out on the field? Was last game just sort of a, let's just be careful with the knee after he played so well at Indianapolis? That's a huge part. Whatever happens with Lawan in the future, the Tannehill angle, this team's outcome, this team's outlook, Lawan's availability, huge part of it.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Titans fans should definitely be worried about Tannehill's turnovers. He's a lot better and smarter than he's been playing this season. That's from a texter with no name on the text line.
Again, that was a terrible pick early, first possession. Terrible pick against the Rams. I'm trying to remember his second pick at Indy. We've talked a lot about the first pick, which was he sort of got baited into that one. But still, I mean,
Second pick was the play where he was about to get crushed. The Indy player's name is escaping my memory, but he picks it off, runs it back, fumbles, gets hurt on the play.
That's Anthony right, and that was and that was a zone drop.
Yeah,
where he got suckered on that one. So yeah, not good. But the other night he throws that pick, and you know the rest of the game he was pretty good, and he had one other. Over to AJ that kind of got tipped around that could have been picked, but I don't remember any other throws that were really in danger of that. I mean, they were being safe. They were being quick to get the ball out. They knew who they had up front. They knew who they were going up against up front. So there wasn't a whole bunch of 5-7-step drops with Tannehill looking downfield, but he got the ball out fast and accurately. And I think that his numbers were a huge dip from last two years. I don't think they totally reflect how he's played, but he can play better, and that's going to be necessary because there are going to be times where, although they have an easier schedule, there's going to be times here, I mean, I think in particular the game at New England, the game at Pittsburgh, where he's going to have to stand in and deliver some tight window throws and get them there and move the chains for this team to win games like that.
Joe mentioned that Tannehill's numbers are down. Do you buy that Ryan Tannehill is regressing this season. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to that discussion coming up next. Make sure you celebrate our heroes this Veterans Day as we set aside time to honor the brave men and women who have fought to protect our country. To emphasize this community's thankfulness, several events are taking place around town to celebrate our veterans, active military, and their families. You got the Field of Honor coming up on Thursday through Saturday from 9 to 4 p.m. at Andrew Jackson's Hermitage in Victory Field. This historic site will feature 1,000 American flags honoring veterans and active military service. You got Marines and others, a birthday celebration and Veterans Day today at 5 p.m. at Red Phone Booth, which is at 136 Rosa L. Parks Boulevard. You can gather for a silent auction, food, drinks, games, and cake benefiting Hero Hunt as well. So make sure you keep that in mind and make sure that you just keep our veterans and active military in mind this weekend as we help celebrate them. This information can also be found on our website at thegamenashville.com/veterans. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, Indy Ben on the text line, says, it's evident that Tannehill has regressed this season, as I thought he would, due to the losses of Arthur Smith, Corey Davis, and Jonnu Smith. With the deficiencies Tannehill presents, I can't see the Titans going deep in the playoffs, especially with Henry out. Eventually, you need your quarterback to carry you out there, even more so without a great running game. This coming from Indy Ben.
So has he regressed, or does he miss those guys? I guess both could be true.
Yeah.
Hey, you just got really loud in my earphones.
Good.
Sound good today.
Thank you.
I don't think he's regressed. I think he's made more mistakes, and that's obvious. He's made more mistakes. I think that Arthur Smith. Okay, he did a great job. I think Todd Downing has done a good job.
Yeah.
Corey Davis, I'm not there with you on that. Corey Davis had a really good year last year. They've had to cobble things together because Julio Jones hasn't been available all the time, but for the most part, they've been fine on the outside. Now, Jonnu Smith, I think that is different. I think he does miss it.
I think he misses Jonnu Smith, and Anthony Firkser clearly has not been able to step in and do what the Titans hoped. I think that probably has something to do with his knee injury, but whatever it is, he has not been what the Titans have hoped. So I think the tight end position certainly has not been as much a help to Tannehill as needed. But again, to me, it's the number one thing is protection. And the number one thing that's different for Tannehill, so different in some of these games, is protection. He has been hit more this year. And I mean hit hard more this year. Think about the other night on that last drive. Ticky-tack, terrible roughing call on Aaron Donald. But then he got bounced off the turf like a basketball two plays later. Just like he got bounced off the turf on the last play of regulation in Indy. He has been hit hard this year more than in the past 2 years combined. I am totally confident in saying that. That's the biggest problem. So if you – I mean, look – I guess you can't argue someone hasn't regressed if their stats go that far the other way. I don't think he's like some broken quarterback who all of a sudden can't play anymore, but I think there are a lot of factors around him that are different. But the number one thing to me is O-line before all those things you listed there.
Well, to me, the question is still going to be the same, right? It's can Tannehill step up and make some plays down the stretch when this team needs him the most? There have been times where he's done that in the past. The most recent playoff game, he did not do that. So, I mean, without Derrick Henry, the only thing that does is get magnified. Now, you're hoping that A.J. Brown cures the dropsies when he gets those, and you're also hoping that Julio Jones the health becomes less and less of a factor as you head down the stretch. To me, it's very encouraging that Julio Jones played in that entire game on Sunday. Now, can he do that again this Sunday? If you can build two games in a row where Julio Jones is out there the whole time, then I think you start to feel pretty good about Julio Jones as you move forward here. But to me, you know, we talked about how important it was for Julio Jones to get back into the fold when Derrick Henry, you know, was out, and we knew that he was going to be out for a long time. Now, the next step is get Julio Jones in there, but also get Julio Jones back to being productive. He had some big plays the other night against L.A. to move the ball and to get a big first down, but there's still more on the table that Julio Jones needs to show, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And but see, I think with Julio Jones, so think back to you know, week two at Seattle. They actually got him vertical a few times,
exactly,
and you saw the difference. You also have to be able to, like, again, feel comfortable that you can try to take those shots. And the other, I mean, Sunday night, man, and maybe it would have had to change if the defense didn't basically give you two straight touchdowns. But the game plan, certainly from there, was, you know, run the ball,
yeah,
and get three-step and boom, get the ball out and just try to move the chains, because you just can't feel good about anything that's long developing. And even on a couple of the plays, you know, there was a sack, and there was also, of course, that reverse where Deontay Foreman just misses a block. You know, now granted, it's not probably not easy to block Jalen Ramsey, but, you know, those plays got blown up because, you know, you couldn't execute the blocking. But, I mean, that's in the meantime, you get them the ball quickly, both those guys the ball quickly, and they can make some plays happen. But I agree, I mean, you got to be able to get to a point where you can protect and you can open up the playbook more often.
Well, I think another stat that probably tells you that the time has gone down in terms of what Tannehill's working with in the pocket. You know, you think back to a couple of years ago, the 9-6 in attempt is just an absurd number for Ryan Tannehill. I mean, it was amazing. But a little bit back down to reality last year of 7-9, which is still a good number. It's down at 7.4 per attempt this year, which, you know, that could tell you a bunch of different things. Number one, I think that tells you you've spent a lot of time without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones so far this year, but you're not having these routes where you're just running down the field wide open just based on the time or lack thereof that Tannehill has had on certain occasions this year.
Yeah, and that's where, obviously, A.J. Brown, I mean, some of it would be, you know, vertical shots. It's also, of course, A.J. Brown, a lot of catch, run and catch stuff that has helped that. But Jonnu Smith, too, was a guy who could make a big play for you, you know, as an inline tight end, and could you get him some space, and he was able to make an explosive play. By the way, I'm a little bit surprised, you know, with Jonnu Smith in New England. I thought he would have a big year. It really hasn't materialized that way. But, yeah, you know, look, when he was here, when the guy was he was a big play guy and certainly a red zone guy that they missed, but they still continue to execute well there. So, yeah, it's I think that is a very telling stat. And the, you know, the 9-6 was outrageous. I mean, that was that along with the completion percentage. Tannehill and Joe Montana in 1989 were the other two quarterbacks who ever did had that combination of numbers, and I think that is a good telling stat this year for where the offense is and where the passing game is. And who knows where it goes from here. You know, it's just hard to know after that one game.
Bob from Mount Juliet texting in, Joe, you are so soft. He needs to play better. No duh. Jared has been harping on Tannehill throwing interceptions and making bad decisions all year. Is he Miami Tannehill without Arthur Smith?
Dang, there's a lot to unpack there. Let's start with how soft I am. Yeah, Miami Tannehill. I mean, hey. I don't know, man. Maybe he stinks. Maybe it's time for the Titans to move on, you know.
Logan Woodside show?
Maybe. It could have been the Matt Barkley show, but he's gone now. He's been taken away.
Yes, bet.
But, you know, it could have been the Trevor Siemian show.
That's right.
And Trevor Siemian's coming in this week. Look, I'm not saying Tannehill's been great. I'm not saying I just said it was an inexcusable pick last week against the Rams. I'd say both against the Colts were bad, especially the second one. Got to stop throwing picks. But it's, you know, do we think that Tannehill has been so much better here, although really he was better in Miami than you think anyway with no running game? But do we think he was so much better here, you know, purely on his own, or did it have something to do with Derrick Henry? Did it have something to do with Arthur Smith?
Yeah.
did it have something to do with an offensive line that, again, in terms of pass protection, was as good as any in the NFL before Taylor Wan got hurt last year, and still, with him lost, was good. I mean, those things helped him, and some of those things are hurting him now. I would agree that, look, you got to be better at sometimes eating it or just throwing it away rather than turning it over, especially against better teams, and especially when you get in the playoffs, you can't have the turnovers. The margin for error with this offense is not high.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Predators defenseman Mattias Ekholm going inside the locker room as the Preds take on the Dallas Stars tonight. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.